This interview was recorded for the International Bomber Command Centre Digital Archive, which owns the copyright for this performance.
This interview is being conducted for the International Bomber Command Centre Digital Archive. The person being interviewed is Lawrence Arthur Richardson, known as Laurie. The interviewer is myself, Kathy Brearley, and also present is Betty, who is Laurie's wife. The date is Monday the 27th of March 2018, and the interview is taking place at Laurie and Betty's home in Lincoln. So first of all, I'd like to thank you for giving us this interview. And you were born in 1937 in November. Whereabouts were you born?
31 Buckingham Street, in all.
Yes. So how many years did you spend in Hull before you moved?
I had my third birthday in over here, down Basingham Fen,
right.
Torgat Farm, relatives.
So how was it you moved from Hull?
Because we got bombed out.
Right. So you were very young at the time, obviously.
Yeah. It was a news agent shop that my mother and father had.
Mm-hmm. And you lived above the shop? You don't know?
Not now. No.
So was that part of a government relocation?
No, it was private. We went to my auntie's at Hesel, and then from there me and my mother came over to relatives at Torgat Farm at Basingham, Walkers. And then my father came later, because he was in the fire service, and he was in the BOCM fire in Hull, and he got the tar on his lungs. Whether it's above board or not, I don't know, but the doctor he had to see for the fire service was our own doctor, and he asked where we was, and he said, "Oh, I'll get you out," and he did do.
Mm.
And my dad came over, and he went to work on the road car, driving.
So the fire in that building, what was that building exactly?
It's BOCM, Oil and Cake Mills.
Right, right. And do you know if there were people working in there at the time?
I haven't a clue.
No.
I don't even know what time of day it was.
No. And Hull suffered hugely during the war, didn't it?
Yeah.
I read that about 90% of the buildings were damaged.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that on the internet. I looked.
Yeah. Do you remember going back and visiting?
Oh, yeah.
And do you remember how it looked when you visited, when you went
back? Oh, yeah, right in the centre of Hull, near Paragon Station, there was Hammond's big store, and for years after it was just a massive hole in the ground, all the basements and everything there. There was a long while building it up, and there was bombed out houses all over.
And do you know how many of your parents' friends stayed in Hull, or family stayed in Hull during the war?
I think my grandma and granddad, I think they went to Withensey. They left Hull and went to Withensey and then came back to Hull again. And my auntie did, and her husband. But my other auntie, my dad's brother, they lived in Hesel all the while, because that's where we went to start with.
So that was before you were at school, obviously. So
it didn't disrupt
your education then.
No.
And about 150,000 people were homeless as a result of the bombing.
Yeah.
Must have been a fairly devastating sight to go back.
Oh, it was. You know, I can only vaguely remember it, like, but because you know, it was getting built up all the while.
Hmm. And it was one of the most heavily bombed cities after London.
Yeah.
But it wasn't.
And when there was, I read it, where there was, even now, when they're doing these building sites on the Humber Bank, they're still finding unexploded bombs.
Are they?
Yeah, as I did in the think it was on the internet or in the paper, I saw it where they'd found some more.
Yeah. So what was the industry at Hull and what was happening there?
Well, it was mainly dockyards and some of the biggest railway lay-by yards there was. And that's, I think that's what was on. It was easy to find, follow the Humber up, didn't it? So.
Yes.
And people have told from friends of ours who lives out near Market Raisin, their father told them that, you know, at night you could sit and look on the tunnel and it was just one red glow in the sky all the while.
And did your father talk about his work when he stayed behind after the bombing?
No, the only thing I know is said that very often when they weren't on duty, they was having to drive hearses and that. Because, you know, there's that shorter drivers and that.
So he didn't talk about his work?
No, not really.
Fire service?
No.
So it wasn't publicised at the time, the bombings in Hull?
No.
It was just described as...
the northeast town. The North East City. That was it.
And that was so that morale...
yeah, I should say so.
...wasn't affected as badly as it might have been. So you came to live on a farm, which is very different, obviously, to...
yeah, down in the Fens at Basingham.
Was that somebody, people your family knew anyway?
Yeah, there was very distant relatives... Unfortunately, all them are gone now.
Yeah.
So then we got a two bedroom little cottage, no lighting upstairs, no water, and we moved in on. My mother wanted her own house, and we moved in on the Christmas Eve because she wanted her own house.
What sort of work did your dad do then?
He was bus driving for Oakar. And he was there right while, because they had what they called the outstation. It was on the Lincoln to Newark run through the village, A7, all the while. And then they suddenly called him into the office, because the bus used to come out from Lincoln, what time it was, to meet him at Carlton, the Moorland, at 8 o'clock, and they used to change buses, and he used to finish, and he used to start with, he used to keep the bus under, no, just under a wagon shed in Basingham, because he would set off first thing next morning with that single decker to come into work.
So there must have been a lot of land girls in that area.
There was a lot. There was a big one at Basingham, and there was a small one at Addington. And most of the ones at Basingham, how many of the Addington, I don't know. A lot of them, the Basingham ones, came from Hull. So at a weekend, when they wanted it, my dad used to use a single decker that he used to keep at home. It was one of them utility ones with wooden seats. And I think they got it cheap because he did it without pay. And me and my mother used to go. We used to go to New Orleans. And then over on the ferry, I know it's Friday night or Saturday morning, and then come back Sunday night.
So there were by and large local girls then who were the land girls?
No, there's all, well, from all, most of them was from all, yeah. And a lot of them have married farmers' sons and that, and local people here. There's quite a few that, I think there's one couple still alive, Molly and Albert Law. So the only thing I can really remember about it was when I was living with my Auntie Ivy at all, because my Uncle Jack and my dad was twins, and he worked on the East Yorkshire buses. Well, when we was there, obviously the sirens went, and I can remember my auntie saying to me, "Let's go and hide in the shelter from your Uncle Jack." And when we was in there, I can remember hearing all this banging going on, which was obviously bombs dropping, but that basically is the only thing I can remember about it.
You said a moment ago that was in Hull, but was that Hesel?
Hesel. That was at Hesel, where my aunt and uncle lived.
So do you remember being in the shelter? Was it an Anderson shelter?
Yeah, it was Anderson, because it was in the middle of the garden. And when the end, when it was took down, they made it into a rose garden.
And you'd mentioned when I spoke with you earlier about the prisoner of war camp. Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah, there was a big one at Basingham in the old rectory. How many was there, I don't know, but there was all out working on the local farms. And it must have been there quite a long while, because it was when I was at school, because next door to it was our school. And I always remember one morning it had been snowing, and we was throwing snowballs at one of, they had a Nissan up straight in front of the gateway, and we was throwing snowballs at the door, and they'd come out and started snowballing us, the prisoners did. But, and then after that, there was some Italian prisoners of war came. Now, I can't remember for sure whether they went in there or whether they went in the old Land Army hostel. I can't be sure on that, but there was definitely Italians came then after that.
And where was that hostel?
What, the Land Army hostel? It's where the village hall stands now, the Hammond Hall.
Was it the same building, or is the hall now a new building on the
site? The hall now, it was gradually shortened and shortened and shortened because it was a big L shape, and now it's completely demolished. And built there now is the Hammond Hall. And the Hammond Hall, when we went to Torgat's, when we got evacuated, Elsie, one of the daughters, married Les Hammond. And then they lived there at the farm. And then later, when Elsie's mother and father and a brother retired, they bought this small holding in Basingham. And they always says, when anything happens to us, nobody will get anything, but everybody will get something. And the land and everything was sold up, and it was split between the village hall, the church and the chapel. And that's why it's the Hammond Hall. They built the hall with it.
Oh, that's a nice story.
I think... Oh, go on, let's switch it on.
So did you have any contact with any of the people at the prisoner of war camps?
Well, we used to whenever... One of them that worked for Taylor's, down in the Fen, we used to go there and have a haircut. Whether he was an hairdresser or not, I don't know.
Was that an Italian?
No, that was a German.
That must have been quite a strange experience.
Well, you used to see him about, so...
Well, thank you, Laurie. That's been really interesting. Thank you for your time.
Yeah.